7 o'clock. Welcome in, Pyle. Jim Davis, along with who doesn't love cake? And he's been working overtime this week, man. He's been filling in the news and been a busy guy. Going to be running the Mavericks game tomorrow. Mavs,
yes,
at New Mexico Islands. We'll bring back our conversation with Colorado Mesa coach Tremaine Jackson after a bit. Palisade scoring off against Montrose last night. Last six games they played prior to last night, each team had 3 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Close football games. Last night, sadly for Palisade, that was not the case. For Montrose, you're now 4-0.
Good night for them.
Another great night for Austin Griffin, their running back.
5 touchdowns?
4 from what I saw. The story that we had was incorrect.
Ah.
4 touchdowns last night for him.
Whoopsies.
That's okay.
You know what? He got into the end zone more than once.
He found the end zone multiple times.
Franklin, which is more than I can say for myself.
Likewise for myself. I played high school football and didn't find the end zone that many times. But anyway, Franklin Barks had the touchdown for Palisade last night. Rockies get rained out or soggy fielded out, if that is really a phrase, yesterday in Atlanta. Going to try to find a day to make up that game. It's not going to be easy. It could be playing October 4th, the day after the final game of the regular season, which is at that point just kind of going.
I was going to say.
Yeah, for the Rockies, it's not going to mean anything. And for the Braves, I doubt that game's going to have much significance.
Would it make sense to just outright cancel it if there aren't any playoff implications?
Yes. Yes, I would say so. Well, if it doesn't have playoff implications, why play it?
Now, there could be this bizarro world scenario, and I haven't checked the standings in a while, but I would imagine if it came down to the wire where it's like, well, there's, you know, if the Braves were to win this supposed makeup game against the Rockies, then they're into the wild card, or, you know.
Which, in that case, you need to play the game. You have to play it.
Yeah.
But Braves right now, they have a 3-game lead over the Phillies in the East. So, okay, that's still relatively tight. And I just think if they look at it and there's no playoff implications,
why bother?
Why bother? Why bother playing it?
Save the money.
And let the guy, you know, let the Rockies go do their thing. Let the Braves go get ready for the postseason. Let the Rockies grab their golf clubs and go, you know.
Hit the links.
Hit the links. Get on, you know, get on the course. And, or, I just, to me, it's, if it has implications, I get it. You know, I understand why you would need to play it. I'm just looking at the wild card right now and what it means. The Cardinals have the second wild card. Dodgers have the first wild card. And looking at, it's Atlanta right now. It's San Francisco, Milwaukee, Atlanta. Those are your 3 division leaders in the National League right now.
Okay.
Atlanta's 76-68. St. Louis is 76-69.
Mm.
Because the Dodgers have won 94 games, and they're the wild card right now. But they could also still potentially win the division too, because they're only a game behind San Francisco in the National League West. So that's tight.
That is tight.
You know that those two teams are in. San Francisco, Dodgers, they're going.
They're in.
Milwaukee's going at 89 wins. So now the question becomes, can Atlanta hold on to win the East? Or if they stumble, do they get the second wild card? Or does St. Louis get the second wild card?
Now here's,
but then your division winner is going to get the, you know, whoever it's, if they're able to, you know, for example, if the Phillies are able to catch them,
right?
Okay, then the Braves are battling for the wild card. It's a possibility that game still could have some significance.
Well, so here's what I'm thinking, and I could be very well wrong in this because I could have the math wrong, because, you know, I wasn't ever great at math, but if that game that we've, you know, had to reschedule does have playoff implications for St. Louis. How about that? Colorado beats the Braves, we hope, because, you know, we always hope they win.
Right.
Colorado beats the Braves to send Nolan Arenado to the playoffs. Wouldn't that just... That is the most Rockies thing. You trade away your franchise player, and then when it comes down to the wire, they have to win a game in order to send said franchise player on another team to the playoffs.
After you already sent them $50 million.
That is the most poetic. That's totally what's going to happen.
And look, what the Rockies have done against the Phillies and now against the Braves.
That, on the road, no less.
On the road, they've been great. They 5-1 on the road trip. And so looking ahead, they've got the Nationals. They go there starting today. Today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Then they host the Dodgers. They're going to play a role in the National League West title.
Oh my!
Because
God. They've
got the Dodgers at home for three, and then guess who comes in right after that? The San Francisco Giants come in for a three-game set at Coors Field.
So,
and then after that, the Rockies play the Nationals twice. They go to Arizona and play the Diamondbacks three times, and then the season's done. So. They've had an impact, no doubt, on the National League East, and they're going to have an impact some way, somehow, on the National League West with the way this season is wrapping up. Yeah, and there's a chance that they could end up maybe helping Nolan Arenado get to the postseason. So
it's only funny because it hurts.
It's only funny because it's so painful.
It's the most... This is the most Rockies thing. Because now you're talking about one team that, depending on how well they do these next few series against Washington, San Francisco, L.A., depending on that, and the possibility of having to play Atlanta to sort of finish out the season.
Right.
You're now talking about one team that could potentially control the fates and destinies of at least three, maybe four other teams.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's the Rockies.
And the Rockies, potentially, they're already playing a role in it with what they've done on this current road trip with the National League East. Yeah, they and within their division. You know, they've been really good at home with the better teams at home in all of Major League Baseball.
If
you get the Dodgers and Giants coming in, and that could be very could be a reason why, if you kind of tuned out to the Rockies a little bit,
you might want to tune back in
because it could be fun. Could be really interesting.
It could be the most chaotic bleep show.
Yeah.
And it's all the Rockies' fault. That, you know, the Rockies have been in the baseball news cycle frequently this year. The Arenado trade, Breidich getting fired, the All-Star Game festivities, the mascot's name getting confused for a horrible racial epithet, and now this. If you're a Rockies fan who is still alive... Which, you know, there may not be many of you left because we've either drank ourselves to death or we've had heart problems from watching this team. Get ready, because it's coming down to the wire.
And here's one final thing to kind of chew on a little bit this morning about Arenado and the Cardinals right now and the role the Rockies may or may not play in that.
Uh-huh.
Right now, Nolan Arenado's not had a great year with the Cardinals.
It's not been amazing.
He's hitting .256. I mean, from a batting average standpoint, it's not great. But he's hit 32 homers. And that's, of course, that's him in a new place and adjusting. He's knocked in 99. He's scored 72 runs. His R WAR is 4.1, which is pretty good. And since August 13th, he's hit 10 homers and 30 RBIs. He's heating up for them at just the right time. But still, outside of the batting average, he's had a really good offensive, output for the Cardinals. Yeah, he was an all-star, played well for them. Here's the thing,
mm-hmm.
that even though Arenado's numbers are not, you know, the batting average most notably is not what it normally is. And some people might consider the production not quite as good as it's been at times in Colorado.
Yeah, and
which is still, to me, he's hit 32 homers and he's driven in 99. That's still pretty damn good in my book. Yeah. I'll still take that. He still has more RBIs and homers than any Rocky. CJ Cronin's 27. He's got 27 homers, 82 ribbies. He still has more ribbies, more homers than anybody currently on the Rockies. So, more insult to injury, more salt in the wound if you're a Rockies fan.
All we ever know is pain.
Yeah, that's all we know is pain. Pain and anguish. All right, so we have a busy show today. We're going to talk with Plateau Valley football coach Brian Bristol coming up in a little bit. Also, Cedar Ridge coach Craig Cerise this morning. Mentioned we'll bring back our conversation with Colorado Mesa football coach Tremaine Jackson. That'll be later on this morning. So today on the program, we'll, of course, give you a chance to win with Where in the World is Tyler Franz. And now that Tyler's actually back here.
Yes.
You know, we took your actual vacation destination and used that for a literal Where in the World is Tyler Franzen, where you actually were last week.
I was in beautiful Anaheim, California.
And did you have a good time?
I had an amazing time.
That is so good to hear.
Now, there was a small itty-bitty COVID scare.
Yes, we were made privy to that here at the station.
You know, we get back. First of all, flying on a plane on September 11th was its own kind of weird feeling.
Probably not the most comfortable thing.
This is a little anxiety-inducing, and the guy sitting next to me might have had a few too many pregame beverages.
Oh, no.
And we hit some turbulence, and yeah. Anyway, but we get back Saturday. We're driving from DIA back home, and then I'm going to drive back to Junction on Sunday. And Saturday, we're in the car, and Mom says, my head's kind of stuffy. I wonder if it's like the pressure change or allergies. And I was like, oh, God.
Oh, no.
I was like, please get tested just to be safe. She's like, oh, yeah, I will. You know, we're fine. Don't worry about it. And then Tuesday night at about 9:45 p.m., she says, guess who has COVID?
Oh, no. Your mom's doing okay, though, right?
She is actually doing quite well, apart from she can't smell or taste, and she's just stuffy and cranky. But outside of that, very mild case, and your boy tested negative.
Which is outstanding.
We are all good. This is just a little, you know, little mini scare there. But other than that, it was a great trip. And by the way, if you're a Star Wars fan, because we went to Disneyland, we went to Star Wars Land, it was insane. So if you are as big a nerd as I am, start saving your money now and go. Because it is, I promise you, it is a worthwhile experience. And it's huge, too. You will see a lot there. It's crazy.
Yeah, I've never been to either one. Disneyland, Disney World. Maybe at some point. Maybe someday. I'll be honest, probably not.
You know, and that's fine. My mother is she is a complete addict to it. Because the story was, and I had it mixed up, I thought it was her uncle and uncle's house. It was her grandparents' house. They had a house just outside the park in Anaheim. And so what they do is when they'd go and visit grandma and grandpa, they would say, all right, here's $10 for a pretzel or something, and here's your ticket book. Go to the park, spend about 8 hours there, and just crush everything in a day. Come back to grandma and grandpa's for dinner, and then they'd watch the fireworks from their porch.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so there was that familial tie to it, and then ever since then, she's just been hooked on the mouse. And, you know, we were fortunate as kids, my brother and I, to be able to go as many times as we did, because that was like her thing. She's like, at the very least, I want to make sure my kids know what I went through as a kid. And actually, I didn't even mention this. My grandfather actually was part of the construction crew when they were first building it in Disneyland.
That's great. That's crazy. So, that's fantastic.
So we have a problem, but it's a good problem to have. So
Well, good. I'm glad you had a great time. Did you get the mouse ears with your name on them?
We did not.
Oh, come on. Come on. I told you I would have. I know. I would have done that.
I know. We did, however.
Okay, that's fine. I'm disappointed, but I will get over it.
We did do this, you know, stupid, funny family thing. They're doing like Halloween stuff now in September because, you know, it's popular. And all four of us got we got different color M&M t-shirts and wore them throughout the park as we were, and they had like candy and trick-or-treating and stuff. So that was pretty fun.
It's just crazy. Why don't they just start doing Halloween in July? I mean, come on. Come on.
Well, because they got to do Christmas in October, you know.
That's true.
They got to align their calendars such.
That's very true. I guess, yeah, that's a good point. All right. So our Qdoba questions of the day today, throw this out for you, Pyle. A few things to ponder today on this Friday, the doorstep of the weekend, football weekend, both for college and the National Football League. Best bet for an upset this weekend. Your best bet for an upset in NFL and college. I also want your Broncos MVP from Sunday. Who's going to be the most valuable player for the Broncos after the Jacksonville game on Sunday? So those are some things to ponder. Just, you know, taking a look at it, you know, at some of the lines this morning in regard to...
you have a gambling problem.
Okay, gambling, no problem.
We know the number.
Won some money last week on FanDuel, so there you go.
I won some yesterday.
Yeah, very good. Good job.
It's a little close.
Just, you know, looking at some of the numbers. Tulane, Ole Miss. They have Ole Miss as a 14.5 point favorite. And Ole Miss is good. Mm-hmm. And Kiffin's, he's got the quarterback's really good. But Tulane played Oklahoma really tough. It was that Oklahoma-Tulane game. And so I'm just kind of, you know, thinking, that's a bit of a big number.
Yeah, two touchdown favorites when one team played another team much closer than people originally gave credit for.
Oklahoma's just a 5-point winner against Tulane. You know, their quarterback, Michael Pratt, played really well in that game against the Sooners. You know, we're talking about, you know, top teams, number three team in the nation.
I still think Oklahoma's overrated, but that's just me.
So I'm thinking, I'm kind of liking Tulane in that one a little bit as far as the being a 14.5 point dog in that game.
I could see them covering the spread. I don't think an outright win,
but I like them to cover the spread. We can go with that today too by covering the spread.
Two touchdown. Yeah, that's.
I just say keep an eye on that one, but covering the spread, not necessarily to win outright, but to cover the spread. Look around the NFL a little bit. Broncos' number's gone down a little bit.
5.5.
It was at 6, now 5.5. I still like them to win it outright and cover that too. Yeah, so, and MVP this weekend. I'm thinking KJ Hamler
is going
to take a bit of a starring role this weekend with Jerry Jeudy out.
I can see that. I think, because Cortland Sutton, if I recall, only had one.
And that was the fourth down conversion. The pass across the middle. For like what, a 3-4 yard pickup, maybe it's a little bit
something like that.
But it was like they converted on fourth down. It was a really nice throw from Teddy and TB5.
But so using the same logic of Jerry Jeudy is not going to be in there, so you have other options. And you mentioned KJ Hamler. I think for that same reason, Cortland Sutton
could very well. It's a good one too.
I think by extension to obviously Teddy Bridgewater, just because. He's going to have to throw it to those guys.
Yeah, it just seems like default you're going to say it's Teddy Bridgewater. But you know, but best bet for an upset or to cover the spread, we'll do it that way. For some of you that, like I said, are you know,
a bit of a
gambling problem.
Yesterday was a good day for Cake because he had Washington money line, Sterling Shepard over whatever the yardage was, like 56 or something. Terry McLaurin over 69 and Taylor Heinicke over 245 passing yards. Hit all four. $15 coming my way.
All right.
Get me a sandwich later or something. I don't know.
Good job. Good for you. I won money last week on the Iowa State game and also money on the Broncos Giants game. Not a fortune because the Broncos were a favorite, but
right.
Still, money's money.
Money's money.
And I'll take it. Thank you very much, and thank you, FanDuel. All right, so send your thoughts in today on best bet for an upset and or maybe to cover the spread if you want to go a little gambling
into the numbers.
Now that we can feel more comfortable throwing some of these things out.
Right.
So send that to us today. Also, who do you think will be the Broncos MVP on Sunday? Text or call us, 970-242-1340. And MVP or X Factor player, however you want to phrase it. I mean, you can always, like you said, every week you could say Teddy Bridgewater. Probably you could. Von Miller on the defensive side.
Right.
To the 2-sack game last week.
Pat Surtain getting his first real start.
Yes.
With the injury to Fuller?
Ronald Darby.
Ronald Darby
has the hamstring
and it was one of
issue things. Right now. All right, so send that to us, 970-242-1340, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. Jim along with Cake today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Let's get to
what's happening.
All right, we start out with yesterday with Colorado Rockies. Rockies' chance for a sweep of the Braves Thursday in Atlanta was halted due to Mother Nature. A soggy field from heavy rain postponed yesterday's game, and now the challenge is finding a day to make it up. No date has been set, but there is the possibility of playing October 4th, the day after the final scheduled game of the regular season. Colorado won the first two games of that series. They now head to Washington to face the Nationals. The Montrose Indians football team routed the Palisade Bulldogs 35-7 last night at Stoker Stadium. Austin Griffin was the offensive star for the Indians. He rushed for 113 yards and four touchdowns. Indians coach Brett Merton says his team did not execute well in the first quarter, but boy, they picked it up over the final three.
You know, our kids run hard, they block hard, and, you know, I thought, frankly, we didn't execute super well in the first quarter. Dropped some passes that probably would have got us off to a little better starts, but it was nice to finally get that rolling there in the second quarter, and I thought we played pretty well offensively.
Franklin Bark scored the Bulldogs' lone touchdown on a 36-yard run. Montrose is 4-0 with Palisades slipping to 2-2. Tonight on the Team Sports Network, it's the battle for the bragging rights of the city. Grand Junction takes on Central. Pregame at 5, kickoff at 6. High school football brought to you by Ken Richards, State Farm Insurance, Greg Wenzel, and Rio Van Gilder with that. Call tonight. We'll also premiere, brand new thing we're doing between our high school coverage and Colorado Preps. It's your weekend football primer with Matt Kennedy. And
nice.
We'll preview all the college and NFL action coming up this weekend and also the high school football action. And then we'll have Colorado Preps with Kevin Schaefer at 9 o'clock tonight right here on the Team Sports Network. Thursday night football last night, Taylor Heinicke threw for two touchdowns to lead the Washington football team past the New York Giants 30-29. The Central Warriors doubles team led the way in a 6-1 win in boys tennis over Basalt. Warriors number one singles player Corbin St. Peter also won in singles play. In other action, Grand Junction defeated Ralston Valley's second varsity team 6-1. Grand Junction edged Montrose 2-1 in boys soccer Thursday at Canyonview. Mason Sanders and Edison Dean scored goals for the Tigers, who improved to 3-4 overall. They're 1-1 in Southwestern League play. The 8th-ranked Central softball team used a one-hitter from Jenna Frazier to beat Montrose 10-0. The Warriors moved to 11-3 with the Indians dropping to 8-4. The Colorado Buffaloes football team, they're 1-1 after nearly tanking down number 5 Texas A&M last Saturday. Next up is one of the upper-tier teams, the Big Ten, when they host Minnesota. The Gophers will have to stop CU's rushing attack to leave Boulder with a win. Voice of the Buffaloes, Mark Johnson, says the blueprint is out on the Buffs, and it sounds fairly simple.
Well, what's going to happen? We're seeing it already. We've seen it 2 weeks into this deal. We know you can run the football. We're going to stop you from doing that. Really make it difficult for you to move the ball on the ground and force you and dare you to throw the football.
You can hear that game tomorrow on 1100 KNZZ, 92.7 FM. Pregame at 10, kickoff at 11 from Folsom Field, the Buffaloes and the Golden Gophers. Also, Colorado Mesa football, they're on the road for the first time this season. They head to Las Vegas, New Mexico to take on New Mexico Highlands. They hope to start fast and get production through the air through their wide receiver core, which has multiple grad or D1 transfers. That includes Elijah Lilly, Dwight Blakey, and Elijah McConnell. McConnell says this group of wideouts all can do something special.
Coaches did a fantastic job recruiting, getting transfers here. Lilly is a great receiver. Blakey is a great receiver. We got a really good receivers core. I feel like we all can do many different things. We can all go off any given night, and we all got something different to bring to the table.
Mavericks and Cowboys tomorrow, right here on the Team CMU Sports Network. Maverick Stampede pregame show with your host, Tyler Franzen, tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Kickoff at noon, pregame at 11 on the Team CMU Sports Network. It's brought to you by Ken Richards, State Farm Insurance. Colorado Mesa's Ethan Anderson scored two goals to lead the Maverick men's soccer team to a 5-0 win over Simon Fraser at the Midwestern State Texas Classic at Wichita Falls. The 10th-ranked Mavs play 25th-ranked Fort Hays State tomorrow. In a showdown of two top 25 teams, the 6th-ranked Metro State volleyball team defeated 24th-ranked Colorado Mesa 3-1 last night at Brownson Arena. Mavs freshman outside hitter Sydney Loeffler posted a career and match-high 22 kills as CMU sees their three-match winning streak come to an end. And that's
what's happening.
All right, we'll talk some high school football with Plateau Valley football coach Brian Bristol. That's coming up next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa.
The Team.
Welcome back, Jim, along with Cake on your Friday doorstep of the weekend. Best bet for an upset, in your opinion, NFL and college? Also, maybe teams you think will cover the spread. Who do you think will end up being the Broncos' most valuable player on Sunday? Text or call us, 970-242-1340. We'd love to hear from you. And, of course, coming up later on, next hour, we'll play Where in the World is Tyler Franzen? Now that Tyler's back, even though we, like I said, I love the fact that we got to play it last week.
Right.
When you were actually someplace that wasn't here.
Right.
And we actually used the locale of where you were last week. So I thought that was really, really cool. All right. Text or call is 970-242-1340. And joining us right now to talk about his Plateau Valley Cowboys football team. They have a game against Gilpin County. We caught up with him last week, but thought we'd bring back the head coach of the Plateau Valley Cowboys. Brian Bristol joins us on the program. Brian, I always appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on this morning for a few minutes.
Thank you, Jim.
Well, week preparation for your football team, getting ready for Gilpin County tonight. What were some of the things after that Norwood game you guys really tried to hone in on this week in preparation for Gilpin County?
After Norwood, we really just kind of focused on our own fundamentals, our O-line work, footwork, just little things that were making some differences for us. Between a 2 or 3 yard gain versus breaking one open. So we really focused on our offensive and defensive lines a lot this week. And I think it's really improved, and I think it'll show this evening.
As I mentioned, you take on Gilpin County tonight. We'll get to them in just a moment. But when you look at, like you said, some of the things you've been focusing on, in terms of your offensive line play, just kind of take us through, because, I mean, it's certainly different. We're talking about eight-man football. It is different in terms of coaching up an offensive line. Take us through that process a little bit of some of the differences in coaching up your offensive line as opposed to coaching a regular, you know, five-man offensive line, a regular offensive line group.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in the run game, if you are running a double tight situation, it's really like a five-man offensive line in more of a spread scenario for 11-man. So the edge is much, much closer to your quarterback and to your ball carriers. So you really have to take care of defensive ends and make sure that they can't redirect and make a play because they're really only 2-3 yards sometimes away from the mesh point or the quarterback. So we got to really strengthen our edges. And then our center has been making line calls for us so that we can make sure that we got guys going in the right direction. And that's really no different than the 11-man side of the game. Other than I would imagine that not too many 11-man teams have a freshman making the line calls at center. So
probably not. Most of them don't. They have an upperclassman making those calls. So, yeah, you have your young center. Tell us more about your young center that has to make those decisions on the line.
We got a big set of twins, actually, Jackson and Heston Bevan, who are big enough to play for us right now, and we just have to get them caught up to speed in the mental side of the game, learning all of the stuff that we do, all the nuances of our offense, and they are both incredibly intelligent, and they're both picking it up very fast, but Heston Bevan has been our center, and he's become a starter for us through week two, I guess, coming into week three. And then younger by a minute or two, brother Jackson is rotating that both guard and tight end for us. So,
Brian Bristol, the coach of the Plateau Valley Cowboys, with us today on the Team Sports Network. For your quarterback, Talon Long, I mean, in terms of pass protection, things like that, because I wanted to ask you this question because we had Colorado Mesa's offensive coordinator, Braylee Brown, on, and he talked about their quarterback, Karst Hunter, played high school football in South Dakota where they play nine-man football, and how different that was for him to actually have tackles as opposed to just the guards protecting him. How much, I mean, obviously Talon's been doing this long enough. He's a senior. It's not really all that strange to him because that's all he's known is playing eight-man football. But some of the challenges faces a quarterback when they play with an offensive line configuration that's different than that in 11-man football.
Yeah, he did have a little bit of a growing pain. He moved to us from Roosevelt High School when he was a sophomore. His dad came over and is our principal, and he came with, and so he was used to 11-man football, and it was a little bit of an adjustment for him. But he's done a really good job of picking up the changes. Big changes are, you know, when they say 3 seconds to get the ball gone, that's not a joke in eight-man football, and you're lucky sometimes if it is three. If they've got a blitz where they're bringing more than you can block, everything happens way faster. And he moves the pocket really well when that occurs. If we do break down on coverage or on pass protection, he moves the pocket pretty well and extends plays. But he's really, really good in the read game. We run a lot of zone read where we don't block a certain player. And, you know, all of that stuff happens almost twice as fast when you're reading from the center and a guard, and then the defensive end is right outside the guard. So that is an incredibly fast read, and he's really adjusted and become a master at it.
Brian Bristol, coach of the Plateau Valley Cowboys, joining us. They have Gilpin County tonight at Colburn. Gilpin County right now, Brian, they're kind of scuffling for Coach Craig Ball. They're 0-3 on the season. And, you know, I know they played Justice pretty close here recently. They have some good running backs. Among them is a senior, Seth Gordon, who's their second-leading rusher. And they also have Jimmy Amardino, who is their leading rusher right now, a couple touchdowns and 146 yards per game. What's the scouting report on Gilpin County?
I think they're going to be a lot better than they show on paper. They've played a mostly tough schedule to this point. I saw their Justice game, and Justice had some really talented athletes that were hard to contain. Otherwise, they'd probably have been in that ball game and won it. But I'm expecting a few little tricks and a few things we haven't seen on film. I coached in the eight-man All-State game, and that was hosted at Gilpin County with Coach Ball. He hosted all of us. So he's got a scouting report on some of the best offenses and defenses in the state. So he's got probably something drawn up that'll surprise us tonight. So I'm expecting the unexpected and coaching my kids to play to the end.
Of course, Gilpin County over by Blackhawk, if you're just kind of wondering, where the heck is Gilpin County? It's over by Blackhawk. So, 6 o'clock for that game tonight, correct? It's your place?
It is 6 o'clock over there in Gilpin.
Oh, yep. I'm sorry, that's on the road at Gilpin, excuse me. So, you guys will be on the road, and we'll have a safe journey over there. And best of luck tonight, Brian, to you and the Plateau Cowboys when you take on Gilpin tonight. Always appreciate it, and we'll grab you next Friday for a few minutes.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. Brian Bristol, the coach of the Plateau Valley Cowboys. So, just thought we'd kind of break down a little bit about the differences because there are differences in terms of quarterback protection, how long they have to throw the football.
Scheme.
The line calls, and those kind of things that it's definitely different than it is in 11-man football. But Plateau Valley, 1-1 right now. Of course, they were a playoff team when they played in the spring. And then Gilpin County, they are 0-3. We'll talk with Cedar Edge coach Craig Cerise coming up in just a few minutes. 7:38, Jim along with Cake today. So, NFL college game, where you see an upset happening, or if you want to go gambling ease here, maybe team you think could cover the spread. Also, who do you think will end up being the Broncos MVP on Sunday? We'll have a big game to lead Denver to a win over Jacksonville. So, text or call us today, 970-242-1340, and we'll play Where in the World is Tyler Franson coming up later on this morning. We'll also hear from Tremaine Jackson, coach of the Colorado Mesa Mavericks.
On the note of what your favorite upset is, don't forget, if you have not already set up your Pile Pigskin Pick'ems on our website, do that. We'll have I think we'll have our picks later today, won't we?
Yes, we will. 9:20 this morning. I might have left that off the rundown. That was unintentional. And last week, Chris Britt came in and picked. So we're going to pick people from our station.
Perfect.
Both on and off air. And the other day, our friend JJ in sales, it's like, mm-hmm. What about me? 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 And part of me wanted to say, no.
Nah.
No. But I'm going to let him come on today and do it. What about Perfect. Me? What about me? What about me? I want to do it. I want to do it. I want to do it. Like he's 5 years old. so he's we're expecting him to come on today because we want to have you learn more about the other people on the other stations here, and also some other people that work more behind the scenes but are essential to us doing what we do here.
Our operations.
Yes, and JJ would be one of those guys, one of our fine salespeople. Give him a call today here at the radio station, 254-2100, if you're looking to do some advertising. All right, 7:40, and it's time for...
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, it's time for Soundcheck.
Buccaneers social media, Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski doing their own... I guess you'd call it talk show. I don't know. They're sitting in a kiddie pool on the practice field. They've got a... It's yeah. Anyway, it's exactly what you expect. And we learned something about Mr. Tom Brady.
Can Tom Brady speak Portuguese?
Você fala português?
Sim.
Sim?
Muy bien.
That's Spanish.
I know.
I know this much. Gronk can speak a foreign language.
That is their touchdown!
There you go.
There you go. Multilingual Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it never occurred to me, because Giselle is Brazilian, isn't she?
That would be correct, yes.
So that would make sense that Brady would know how to speak a little bit of Portuguese.
Right, just a little smattering, yeah.
Since he is married to, after all, Giselle Bundchen.
You will learn to speak my language, Tom.
Or it's probably
making her sound like she's German.
It's you will learn to speak the language of my people, Mr. Brady. Mr. Brady, you will learn to speak the language of my people.
I will rip out your still beating heart.
You know what it probably is?
It's not fair to her. That's terrible of us.
It probably is. She may, if she ever gets like angry, like at the kids, the kids spilled something. She may say something in Portuguese, and maybe Brady just wanted to, like, you know, learn when.
I'd want to know, right?
Like, honey, you okay?
She's cussing me out, man. I think I'd want to know what she's saying.
Just so I know what I did or didn't do.
Why are you throwing that pillow and blanket on the sofa?
You know they don't match.
What? No, why are you making me sleep on the sofa? You've been yelling all this Portuguese at me. I'm not sure what. What did I do? I left the toilet seat up again? That's what that means?
What?
Okay. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I squeezed the toothpaste from the middle of the tube again? I'm sorry. In Portuguese, I didn't know that's what that meant. I'm sorry, honey. Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
All right, 7:43, and Cedar Ridge football coach Craig Cerise will join us next. Talk about his Bruins. That's on the way on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
They're a lot of fun. Oh.
The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
Say what?
On Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Welcome back. Jim and Cake today, 7:46, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Continue our preview of the high school football weekend. And with us right now, he's the coach of the Cedar Ridge Bruins. Craig Cerise joins us. Craig, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good morning.
Feeling good about your football team after a really good win against Coleridge last Friday, 20-0. And Ty Walsick, great all-around game in terms of throwing and running the football for your offense. 120 yards, very efficient, 8 of 11 through the air for a couple of touchdown passes, and he also found the end zone with his legs with 66 yards on 13 carries. So Ty had, like I said, a really good offensive game for your football team.
Yeah, it was a really big step in the right direction. His play obviously helped us out a lot. I'd have to say, you know, a lot of that rushing and, you know, the time passing and stuff also started with the guys up front with our line and stuff. But, yeah, he did a really good job for us last Friday.
And a guy that really stood out in terms of catching the football, Luke Maxey, the sophomore, 4 catches, 93 yards, and a touchdown. It's kind of in the bloodlines there, right, with Luke Maxey?
Yeah. We hit a big 75-yard pass right before the half, kind of, you know, there was a couple minutes left, and so that was a huge boost to us. You know, the first quarter we kind of had just been running the ball, controlling it, a few passes here and there, but then to come back later and have like a big explosive play like that was really good for us to see.
Craig Cerise, the coach of the Cedar Ridge Bruins, joining us today on the program. And, you know, as good as the offense was and played well, the defense had a stellar game. You get the shutout, which is always, you know, one of those benchmarks for any football coach to get that from his defense. But held him just 24 yards rushing on 16 carries in that game. That's pretty impressive the way he shut down the Titans' run game.
Yeah, it was really the defense all night long. There was one time we had kind of a blunder on the kickoff. They had a short field. We still held them out. We were guys up front, our linebackers, even our defensive backs were making tackles. We had at least 6 tackles for loss, so we were in their backfield the whole night. It felt like they were having to kind of pull out some of their, not, I wouldn't say trick plays, but they're kind of having to grab back, you know, to try to just get something positive, and the defense played really, really well.
Craig Cerise, the coach of the Cedar Ridge Bruins, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. Of course, coming off the win against Coleridge, had that opening loss to Cortez. And now you take on a team that's always one of the better programs in 1A football. You have Meeker coming up tonight, a big showdown with the Cowboys.
Yes, very big. Our kids understand, you know, how big of a game it is. The last 2 years we've had to travel there. So we're excited to get them at home now. Last week was our homecoming game, winning that, you know, was kind of a check mark on our list of things we're trying to accomplish. And then, you know, if we can go out there and play well tonight and come up with a win against Meeker, I know in my time here at Cedar Ridge, we haven't beaten them. And I think our kids, you know, really are believing that they got a shot at it.
Well, Meeker's coming off a win against Roaring Fork, and right now they're currently 1-1 on the season. Just, you know, looking at some of the numbers for Meeker coming in, their quarterback has done a nice job so far, and the young or the junior quarterback Connor Blunt. But you look at what they do; their job thing they do best is, you know, like anybody, running the football, and they've got a bevy of backs that they've been handing the football off to.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and they've had. You know, they had to start out with the number one team in the state, which is a tough, you know, thing to do. So, and then last week they looked really good against Roaring Fork, and they always got a ton of kids out for that small of a school. They're always really well coached. They're always really tough. But this year, definitely, their offense, you can see, has changed a little bit more to not so much swinging around like they've done the last 5-6 years, but much more running the ball.
Of course, that one tonight at Cedar Ridge, 7 o'clock for that one, right, Craig, at your place?
Yeah, that's correct.
All right, well, best of luck tonight against Meeker. We'll talk to you next Friday.
All right, thank you, Jim.
Appreciate it. Craig Cerise, the coach of the Cedar Ridge Bruins, joining us on the program this morning. And like I said, hasn't beaten Meeker during his time there, and Craig would like to change that narrative tonight.
Oh, of course.
When the Bruins host the Meeker Cowboys. All right, 7:51, Jim along with Cake today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, most trusted name. In automobiles. So we got one from Ken this morning. Go Warriors, beat the Tigers.
Ooh.
Yeah, we got the battle for the bragging rights of the city tonight. Warrior alums, Tiger alums. This is bragging rights time.
It is.
So your chance to sound off on that today as well, with Grand Junction taking on Central tonight. The Warriors coming off, even though it was a loss to Boulder Fairview, that was still a very impressive game that they played defensively against the Knights, who Tom McCartney, their coach, had been there a long, long time. They have thrown a touchdown pass in every game since 2017 until last week.
Nice.
When the Warriors came up with a couple of picks in that game and kept them from throwing a touchdown pass, they They still won 17-0 as a Central struggled to get much going offensively, but a very impressive defensive performance by Central last week. And, of course, Grand Junction, they're still looking for their first win after falling in the black and blue trophy game to Fruita Monument last Friday night. All right, text or call us today, 970-242-1340. Here's what I'm looking for, Pyle, a couple of things. Best bet at an upset this weekend in the NFL or college football, the one you think there's you feel really good that could be an upset. Or if you want to do, you know, like Guru Gary loves to gamble. He's a degenerate gambler, like a lot of us. Maybe Guru more than some of us. Love you, Guru. Maybe somebody you think who covers the spread and your MVP for the Broncos on Sunday. When the game's over, who will that be for you? Who do you think will go out and have a big game? I think KJ Hamler has a chance at having a really big game. You mentioned Cortland Sutton,
yep,
which I think Cortland is kind of primed for, you know, a big game in week two. Somebody's got to pick up the slack with Jerry Jeudy out
right
for a while with that high ankle sprain. It's going to be, we're talking 4 to 6 weeks
yeah
for Jerry Jeudy to be on the shelf. So text or call us today. Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line 970-242-1340. Best bet an upset or cover the spread, NFL college, and your MVP for the Broncos on Sunday. Who do you think that will be? All right. Now, why would you want to wait to find a genie in a lamp and wish for riches when you can play Powerball, the jackpot? It's $457 million.
Woo!
That's right, $457 million. So get your lucky numbers ready, pick up a ticket today, and get ready to grant your own wishes. Look, you don't have to squeeze yourself into some tiny bottle.
No.
No, you have to do that. You can have a big old house for all that money. You can, whatever you want. New boat. Cabin up in up in the Grand Mesa, maybe. Or,
ooh.
That would be fantastic. All those trips you've wanted to take. You could do that. You could grant your own wishes. You don't have to wear those pajama pants or anything like that.
No.
No, you don't have to do that at all. Colorado Lottery knows we all have wishes for what we'd want to do if we have all that money. Like I mentioned, travel the world, get your dream home or homes. Well, however big your wishes are, the Powerball jackpot's big enough to grant them all. So get your lucky numbers ready because the next Powerball jackpot is sitting at $457 million. So that's a lot of money to make a lot of wishes come true. How about 50-yard tickets for the Broncos?
There you go.
Or season tickets to the Nugs, the Avalanche, the Rockies.
Courtside.
Oh, courtside would be fantastic. Be perfect. And don't forget, for an extra dollar, you can add double play to your Powerball tickets so your numbers are entered into both the Powerball and double play drawings. Double play enters you for a chance to win $10 million. That's not nothing.
Not bad.
Drawings are every Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. Pick six numbers, $2 a ticket for that. Choose your lucky numbers to do a quick pick and have your numbers selected for you. And that jackpot continues to grow until somebody wins. It might as well be you, right?
It might as well.
The walks away. A big winner with the Colorado Lottery. So get your tickets now and win this weekend with the Colorado Lottery. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Hour 2 on the Team Sports Network.